Well, what are we here for? That's a good question, isn't it? What are we here for today? Well, I think the main business of the church is evangelism. Main business of the church, I believe, that's getting the good news out there to people. I am proud to be an American. Old Lee Greenwood sing that song, I'm proud to be an American. I am proud of my gospel. I'm proud of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you turn in your Bible this morning to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Starting with verse 14 through 16. A very simple passage of scripture. You've heard it before. I've preached on it several times. I never get tired of preaching on this passage of scripture. I'm proud of the gospel. Paul says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also the Greeks. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your blessings. We thank you for all that you do for us. Now, Lord, I ask to speak through me this morning. Lord, if we do not open our hearts to hear the word, we'll go from this place just as empty as we came in. But, Lord, speak to our hearts through the word this morning. Open the eyes of our understanding, our minds, that we might be enlightened. And God, we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Evangelism is simply taking the good news of the gospel all over the earth. The gospel, the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If Christ had not risen, then we couldn't be saved, because we need that resurrection. Not long ago, I was preaching a funeral, and the family said, listen, preacher, we don't believe in the resurrection. Would you not preach on that? I said, man, if you don't believe in the resurrection, there's no hope. Amen. So without any hope, you know what? I just preached salvation to them. I figured they needed to hear it. And, you know, that's the gospel. We live in a society, we live today, where a lot of people do not believe the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, more and more are turning away from the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to repent of our sins and turn to God. What causes us to go? What causes us to spread or share the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Now, everywhere we turn, the Bible says, go, go, go tell, go share the gospel. The Lord said to Philip as he was preaching, arise, Philip, and go. Told him to go, and he went to the Ethiopian eunuch. The Lord healed a man from demons, and he said, go tell thy friends. And one of my favorite verses of Scripture is, to go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel. Man, we went, had a call the other day from one of our Filipino pastors. He wanted to come back sometime in the next 2 months on Sunday night and share the gospel. What's God doing in the Philippines? Well, we've had people in the Philippines as missionaries. We've had people in China as missionaries. We've got people in Haiti now and working in missionary fields to reach people. We've dug wells in Ethiopia. We preached the gospel in Kenya. We preached the gospel in Zambia. We've got a church in Old Mexico, down in Durango, where there's gangs and everything else. Our pastor is preaching the word of God. We've established churches in different places in the world where we've shared. in New York, in Tennessee, in Pennsylvania, Colorado, South Dakota, they're going. Even in Las Vegas, Nevada, we're telling people about Jesus Christ. We must preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior. The Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, man, we need to go. Now some say, that's the preacher's job, or that's the evangelist's job. Well, the Bible also says, we are to do the work of an evangelist. We are to go out in our communities. I thank God we've got ladies here. I don't know if they come on Monday or Tuesday now or when, but they go knocking on doors and they leave tracks on doors. I believe they reached every home in Gun Barrel at least once on this side of the lake this way. You know, that's what God tells us to do. And I believe we know what the Lord wants us to do as a church. I believe we're to go forth. What causes us to go forth? What would it take to motivate you and I to be like Paul? To go tell the gospel. He desired to go to Rome to tell the gospel. Well, when you read Paul's letter here, you see he had a burning passion for lost people. A burning passion. He says, I have purposed in my heart. I want to come to you. I want to come to you that you may have some fruit among you. He wants to see people saved. He wants to go preach the gospel so that people might be saved. He went to Rome because he was a soul winner. And he wanted the people in Rome, he wanted the lost people to come to know Jesus Christ. Romans 1:14-16, he says, I am a debtor. I'm a debtor. In 15, he says, I am ready. And in 16, he says, I am not ashamed. Friends, let me tell you, we will go like Paul when we realize that we have an obligation to go. You see, you and I have an evangelistic obligation this morning. Oh, preacher, you don't know, right here at home we got plenty of people that's lost. That's right. Right here in Henderson County, I believe Henderson County is probably the drug capital of Texas. We have drugs all over Henderson County. Our county does need to know Jesus Christ. That's the reason God has planted this church as a lighthouse to Henderson County, and we are to reach Gun Barrel City. We are to reach our county. But not only our county, we must reach the state of Texas for Jesus Christ. We're losing ground in doing that. We need to see ourselves as a debtor, someone who gives something. Paul was not talking about a financial debt, but he said, I have a spiritual debt to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When he said he was a debtor, he said, I'm a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians. In that sense, he says, I have a sense of awe because Jesus Christ has done so much for me. I must reach the lost people for Jesus Christ. What has Jesus Christ done for you? Well, did the same thing for Paul. He died for him. Jesus Christ loves you this morning. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible says, all have sinned. That's including this preacher. Every single one of us have sinned, and sin separates us from God. But God so loved us that he gave his Son to die on the cross, that whosoever, that means you and I, would put our faith in him and turn for our sins, he will forgive us our sins. I don't know about you, but in 1979, my sins were forgiven. My name was written in the book of life, and it's still there to this day because God wrote it there, and He's going to keep it there until that day He calls me home. You see, He bought me with a price. He paid for me with His blood on Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He gave peace to my life that day. Oh, we need peace today in the world. We're in a world today living that everybody's at odds with one another. What we need is peace. But peace is not going to come through financial security or any other thing. It's going to come through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm on my way to heaven. And Paul knew that too. He said, I'm on my way to heaven. Christ saved me. And he said, I'm a debtor. He had a debt that he could never repay. All the money in the world won't repay that debt. But he spent the rest of his life trying to live for Jesus, trying to win the lost people for Jesus Christ, because he once was lost and God had saved him. Now he felt an obligation to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Has Jesus Christ saved you this morning? Has he? Think about it. Has he come into your life? If you're saved, then you know what? He died for you on the cross. If you've been saved, his blood washed you white as snow. His hands were pierced upon that cross. His feet was pierced. His side had a spear thrown through it. And he did all of that for you and I. I owe him a lot. I owe him my life. Now, if you understand that, that ought to create an obligation or desire to go out and win lost people to Jesus Christ. And Paul said, listen, I am a debtor. I'm a debtor to the Greek. Those who spoke the Greek language. Or to the barbarians. Those who didn't. Those little words simply means I am a debtor to everyone. Everyone. And we've got an obligation here in the state of Texas to reach everyone. I was driving up the road the other day, and I just happened to notice people beside me. They were Hispanics. And I was driving a little further, and I noticed the people beside me were, I don't know if they're Filipino or Asian. They were of the Asian group, and I said, you know what? I'm a debtor. I must tell every Hispanic that comes into the state of Texas about Jesus Christ. God loves them. I must tell every Asian person that comes into the United States about Jesus Christ. I must tell every American about Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. I am a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. Now that's an obligation that you and I, obligation that you and I cannot escape. What are you doing about it? Jesus gave two great commandments of the gospel. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he said, when you come to him, then you are confronted with that I must go and tell. I must go and tell. When he says, go ye therefore, it wasn't something that you had to decide about. That was a command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he commands us to go. I remember the story in the Old Testament. There's some lepers sitting outside the city. They were staring out at the gates of Samaria, and they said, you know what? Why do we sit here? Why are we sitting here in this spot till we die? There's no food here. The people inside the city are starving to death. They're not going to throw anything to us. Why do we sit here? And I ask myself the same question. Why are we sitting here when Christ has blessed us with so many blessings? Why don't we go out into the world and tell them about Jesus Christ? They said, let's go into the camp. At least we'll die out there if they don't feed us. They went out into the camp. They found food plentiful. And then they said, we do not well if we sit here with all this food while people are starving to death. Let me tell you something. If we sit here and enjoy the blessings of God upon our life, if we walk through our society with the blessings of God upon our life, and we do not tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're like those lepers. The lepers said, some mischief is going to come upon us if we don't do it. One day we'll stand before our God and give an account. We could have done so much more with the gospel. All the blessings we enjoy. I don't know about you, brother. When she sang, whew, man, I just felt the glory of God all up on my life. And I wanted everybody in Gun Barrel to hear that. When I saw the flags coming down and when I heard the choir sing and these ladies play, I thought, man, wouldn't it be nice if everybody in Gun Barrel could have heard that? They think church is kind of stuffy. They will go to the park last night. There was thousands over there. Go to the park and drink their beer and listen to whatever. Call that a family outing. Brother, we are the family of God. We need to come tell them, listen, come see our family. Be a part of our family. Man, I love to spread the gospel, the singing, the fellowship, the food. When I think about fellowship, you know, we think about food. I love it. It loves me. We have an evangelistic obligation, but we need an evangelistic passion. Look what he says. As much as in me is. As much as in me is, Paul said. Paul had a fire burning in his life. He said, I am ready. I'm all on fire for God. And when the call came on the Damascus Road that day, Paul, he answered that call. And he was passionate about Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, and I watched a baseball team, TCU, was going, playing. And I don't watch much baseball. But those boys were so excited about going to the championship. Man, they were all in. They were on fire for winning a baseball game. They were interviewing him. They was talking about playing and the enthusiasm in which they played. Can't you imagine they coming down to one of the pitchers and he's, oh, I don't think we stand a chance. Man, if I was his coach, I'd have kicked him off the team. Or what if they had interviewed the coach and said, Coach, you know, your first time, you know, you're playing for the championship. What do you think? I don't think we can win, but we're here. Man, that would just throw ice water on it, wouldn't it? No, they were excited about another game. One more game. They'd probably win it because they were excited about it. Well, Paul, he was just that passionate. He said, man, there's people in Rome that I've got to win to Christ. Why? Because he believed that people were actually lost in the world and they were going to die and be sent to a place called hell if they weren't ready. And I believe that with all my heart, folks. I believe there's lost people even in our church and in our congregation. There's lost people on our church roll that are lost. My heart hurts for them. Because I want them to come. I want them to find Christ. Paul believed there was a hell. And he believed there was a heaven. And he believed the people that were lost went to a place called hell. And people that were saved went to a place called heaven. Now, if you believe Jesus Christ, you have to believe that. His word says that. And friends, we need to tell people, we need to be passionate about that. Paul says, as much as is in me. That's a total passion. Everything, he said, everything that I have goes to winning people to Christ, even if it costs me my life. Can you say that? Everything that I have. There's no price. Everything. Some would teach that the Bible, some people could teach the Bible, and people could get saved if we believed that. Some people could give money, and people would get saved. Some people give an hour a week and go out and knock on doors, and people would get saved if we really believed that. As much as is in me, I give to the Lord. Everybody, everywhere deserves to hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what? I'm going to see a 95-year-old Kenyan lady when I get to heaven, because this church gave $30,000 to go over there so that she could hear the gospel. That's what it cost. We saw something like 19 or 20,000 come to know Jesus Christ that week, but it cost $30,000. Was that too much? No. It wasn't too much. God gave his son. Paul gave his life also. As much as is within me. He had that gospel obligation. He had an evangelistic passion. And not only that, he had an evangelistic affirmation. Listen to what he says. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying here, I am proud to be a Christian. Proud to be an American. But I'm also proud to be a Christian. Sometimes when we share the gospel, people will call us fanatics. I've been called just about everything in the world. Listen, young people, some people at school will shun you when you go to school and you say you're a Christian. When somebody asks you to go to an all-night party that ain't going to be no good, you know it's not, and you say, I can't go, I need to go home. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. They're going to say, huh. And you're going to be shunned. There's a danger of intellectual shame. There's a danger of social shame. You may not be accepted, adults, in some groups. I don't get to be invited to a lot of parties because I don't drink. I don't care if I'm not invited to those parties. Didn't want to go there to start with. You see? There's a danger there. And when you try to live for Jesus, sometimes socially you're just left out. Then there's a danger of moral shame. You don't accept the morals of today, do you? By the way, they've hit rock bottom in our country. Morals have hit an all-time low. And let me say this, those kind of morals are feeding our children's minds by the songs that they hear. That filth is going into their minds. Parents, you ought to listen to what your kids are listening to on the internet and on the radio, or what they're looking at in our television shows. Man, I tell you what, you can't turn on a television show that's worth anything anymore. Amen. We didn't have that in the 60s and the 40s and 50s and things like that. You had good, clean shows. Where in the world our morals are keep dropping lower and lower? Look at the language that you hear on television. Man, Daddy would have killed me if I'd have went to something like that. Look at our clothes that we wear. Man, I went to Walmart the other day just to get some stuff for last night, and I thought, man, I need blinders. Y'all know what blinders are? Man, I looked at some people and I said, if I look like that, I sure wouldn't wear that. You look bad enough as it is, but Lord have mercy, cover something up. You know? Well, don't let's jump on them Walmart people. There's sometimes we come to church, we were just about as bad.
Amen.
You know, I'm not very popular with some of our preachers and things like that because I take a stand against sin in church. I don't believe you ought to have people join your church that are living in a sinful condition and homosexuality and all of that kind of stuff. And let me just go and say shacking up together or sex before marriage. You know, I don't believe that the Bible teaches that. And when I tell other preachers, you know, we got preachers that believe that's all right. I'm not very popular. But I ain't worried about being popular for a long time. Just don't bother me anymore. I'm more interested in what Jesus thinks. And the longer I live and the closer I get to heaven, listen, friends, I want to be able to stand before my God and say, listen, this is what I stood for. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because that gets lives cleaned up. The gospel makes healthy-minded people, regardless of what the population now thinks, so. I'm not running for a vote, so I don't have to say whatever they want to hear. I was sitting down one day and I was thought about, man, if I was running our city, if I could just run our city for a few years, it would no longer be Gun Barrel City because it would die. I'd get rid of all the things that prompted or promoted sin. There'd be no more bars. There'd be no more restaurants with bars. There'd be no stores with dirty magazines, no bingo, no gambling. And Christ would be prayed to before every school class every morning and every evening. And I wouldn't be very popular. And the town would probably die because everybody would get out. Might be good. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Now, Rome thought their power was in the sword. If you didn't believe like they believed, they wouldn't mind throwing you out there in that thing, let the lions get you. They thought the power was in chains. Paul said, that's not power. The power is in the Word of God. He lets loose those chains. You're no longer bound. The gospel stirs the message of the mind and the heart and the consciousness of man. It saves the soul. It changes the lives. It takes the drunk and makes him sober. It takes the harlots and makes them pure. It takes the thieves and makes them honest. That's what the gospel does. It also is very simple. Christ said it is to everyone who believes. Now that's the message of the gospel. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Man, can't you see old Paul? He's over there in Damascus. He stirs up the people. Boy, he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't like him at all. They threaten to kill him. His friends let him down the wall in a basket. I can see NBC News interviewing. Paul, isn't it a little bit embarrassing to have to leave town by a basket over the wall? I think he would have looked at him and said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think at old Lystra, they stoned him at Lystra. They stoned him almost to death. NBC would say, Paul, don't you think that hurt a little bit? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. In Philippi, they just beat him almost to death. Oh, in stocks over and over and over. NBC, ABC, and CBS would all interview him and said, you know what? Don't that embarrass you that you're whipped out in public by somebody with a cat of nine tails? And he'd say, you know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Now he comes to the end of his life and he's in Rome. He's in a prison. It's filled with all kind of roaches and rats and junk, human waste, and everything else that's ugly and vile. And he's carried out to a block to be beheaded. And I can see the news channels right now saying, Paul, look where the gospel has got you. And he would look at him and said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it has gotten me into heaven in just a few short seconds. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, and I'm not ashamed of that. Let me tell you something. When you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you look at yourself as you have an evangelistic obligation, you have an evangelistic passion. Let me tell you something. That's what makes us go. That's what makes us go. I've got a message to the nations. I've got a message to First Baptist Gun Barrel City. I've got a message to preach the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation. I am a believer. I believe in the Word, not just a little bit of it, but folks, I believe in all of it, from the very front to the very back. Listen to what the Word says. Man, the Word is powerful. Listen to this. I testify to everyone who hears the words of prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Folks, this is God's Word. It's not just a book. Some people say, do you believe the Bible? I say, you'd be a fool not to. It's true. It's true. I have stood by deathbeds and people would say, preacher, the Word of God is true. Heaven is real. And I'm going there. Are you going there? I've stood beside people who didn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the look of fright upon their life. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. You've got a choice to make this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you can choose Him as your Lord and Savior. It's been paid for on the cross of Calvary. He died that you might have life. If you don't know Him, would you come to Him today? Trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Then when you do, listen, you've got an obligation to share that. Share it with your family. Share it with your friends. Share it with your children. We need Christ in our life today. We need Christ in this country today. The reason this country is in bad shape as it is, the Christians won't take up and take a stand for Jesus Christ. We just sit back and do nothing, and the world dies around us. You've got an obligation. Do you have a passion? If so, then we'll have an affirmation in our life. I am not ashamed of the gospel. If you're here this morning and you're lost, would you come as we give an invitation? If you're here looking for a church home, would you come? If this is where God's led you, if you're here today and you're a Christian and you haven't been living like you should, would you come and say, God, today I want to start serving you wholeheartedly. Would you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you for the freedom that we have in this country that we can stand up and preach the gospel. Lord, I just pray that if someone's heard the word today, they'll come. For whatever decision needs to be made, in Jesus' name, amen.